Amen. Amen. God is still here.
Amen.
He was here in 2023. He is here in 2024. And we've been talking about the fact that God is still here. He's still here, and we do not have to be afraid. He's still here, and He is sovereign, and He's at work. We can trust Him. He is still here, and He is not silent. He is still communicating with us. He's still speaking to us. He still wants to direct us in 2024. God is still here, and He listens when we pray. And God is still here, and He continues to seek and to save the lost. And God is still here, and He wants us to be authentic disciples who know Him, become like Him, and serve Him. This morning, the last sermon of this series as we enter 2024, I want us to focus on the fact that God is still here, and He is a generous God. And He expects us to be generous as well. I think we could all agree this morning that God is a generous God. Paul saw that. Paul wrote about it in 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9. In those two chapters of Paul's second letter to the Corinthian church, he was writing to an affluent church. They were well off financially. He wanted them to understand and to know how they should focus on excelling in every good work. And of most importance, he wanted them to excel in giving, in the act of grace. And so in chapter 8 and chapter 9, he's talking to them about what it means to give. And he uses a key word throughout these two chapters. You heard it in the scripture reading a few moments ago. You'll hear it in the scripture that I'm about to read. That key word is the word generous. Paul did not reach back into the Old Testament and talk to the church at Corinth about how they should be tithers. I learned at a very early age about tithing. My father was a Baptist preacher, and he preached on giving 10%. That's the way I grew up. And I grew up in the Christian faith and in the Baptist world, and that's just what we did, is we tithed 10% of our income to the church, to the ministry of God. But you know, there's something that I learned along the way. I learned that that concept of giving a tithe is the minimum. It's not the maximum. That really, in the New Testament, we come to a different challenge. The challenge to give as God prospers you. And then we come to chapter 8 and chapter 9 in 1 Corinthians. And Paul uses a totally different standard when he talks to the Corinthians about giving. He just wants them to be generous. To be generous, to give out of generosity. I know it's a little tricky sometimes when we talk about giving. It's sort of out of vogue today because people sometimes tend to have the attitude that preachers preach on giving because they just want to get into your pocketbook. So I just want to say to you, you don't have to put your hand back here and hold it, okay? Hold your billfold. I'm not after that. But I tell you one thing I'm after this morning is your heart. Your heart. Because you see, if God has our hearts, He's got everything else. Our pocketbook, our change, our cars, our homes, our children, everything starts with the heart. Hope you understand this morning that God wants us to be generous because he is generous. He's not asking us to do anything that he hasn't already demonstrated to us and shown us. And so I want to just talk to you a little bit this morning about what it means to be generous in our giving. There are a lot of keys in these two chapters that I want to point out this morning. First of all, I want to point out that Paul is writing to the church at Corinth because he's receiving an offering. He has a burden for the sinners or for the Christians and the believers in Jerusalem who have given their heart and faith to Jesus and they've lost everything. They're poverty stricken. And now he is raising an offering among the churches that he's planted in Asia Minor to take back to Jerusalem to help those early Christians in their poverty. And one of the things that stands out to me about this offering is it seems that Paul is really making a great effort at planning this offering and making sure everything is exactly the way it needs to be. In fact, it's such a big project that he's not doing it by himself. Here in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, he talks about a friend of his, a partner of his, that's helping him in this offering, named Titus. And he talks about how Titus is going to come to Corinth, and he's going to help them gather the offering before Paul gets there. And Paul is going to come and bring some people with him and bring some people from Macedonia with him. And he wants to make sure that when they get there, that the offering will be ready, that the offering will be ready to be received. And those that he's bringing with them will see the example of the Corinthians giving. Because, see, Paul has really bragged on these guys. He's told those Macedonian believers, if you want to see a group of people who are generous and who love God, and just come with me and see their great offering that they're going to give us to take to the Jerusalem believers. They're wonderful people. So he's taking some of the people at Macedonia, some of the people from the other churches with him to Corinth to gather that offering in, along with all the other offerings from all the other churches, and he is about to travel to Jerusalem to give them the offering. Paul was very, very intent on making sure that there were people with him that could witness how he handled God's money, to help him be responsible for handling God's money in the right way. He took people with him, not only because he felt responsible to them and wanted to be accountable to them, but he wanted them to share in the joy that comes in giving to people who have needs. And it was also an opportunity to teach them about what it means to give and what it means to share in meeting the needs of others. It was really a discipleship project as much as it was an offering collecting project. So Paul is working with Titus. Titus is going before him, and Titus is coming, and he's going to help them gather the offering. And in fact, Paul says here in chapter 9, he says, I want you to be ready to give because I've bragged on you so much. When the Macedonians come with me, I want them to see what I've bragged about. I want them to see your generosity so that I don't have to stand before you and extort the money from you. Have you ever been in a situation where you felt like the pastor was extorting money from you? I hope you've never experienced that from me. In fact, one of the things that I really appreciate about this church and about you is that you're a generous people. When you see a need and you see a need that needs to be met, you're willing to give to help meet that need. You're generous people. So Paul is looking toward this offering. He's getting ready for this offering. He's planning for it. There's nothing wrong with planning when you see needs out there, stepping back and starting to plan with others about how you're going to meet those needs. And that's what Paul was doing here with the church at Corinth and also with the church in Macedonia. Notice what he said about the church at Macedonia in chapter 8, starting in verse 1. Now he's addressing Corinth and he brings up the church at Macedonia here in these words. He said, "We want you to know, brothers and sisters, about the grace of God that was given to the churches of Macedonia." When Paul is talking about the grace of God that was given, he's talking about God's generous spirit in not only giving them the grace towards salvation, but also enabling them to be able to be generous and give themselves. And he's talking here about the grace of God that was given to the churches of Macedonia. And during a severe trial brought about by affliction, their abundant joy and their extreme poverty overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. Do you know that generosity, being generous, is not dependent upon how well things are going in your life? Being generous and having this generous spirit is not really dependent upon how much money you have in your billfold. It's not dependent upon how much money is in your bank account. It's not dependent about how perfect your life is. A generous spirit comes from God, and it's modeled for us by God. Here, Paul is describing the church in Macedonia, how they had been afflicted and they were in extreme trial and they were poverty-stricken, and yet they had abundant joy. And in fact, in verse 4, or in verse 3, he says, "I can testify that according to their ability and even beyond their ability, of their own accord, they begged us earnestly for the privilege of sharing in the ministry of the saints." I think it probably went something like this. Paul was thinking in his own mind, "Look, I know the church in Macedonia are having a really hard time. They just really don't have much. They can't rub two pennies together. They are really in the midst of affliction, severe trial. Look, guys, I'm not really expecting much from you. In fact, I'm not going to even pass the plate. You have so many needs yourselves." And yet, those churches in Macedonia stood up and said, "Paul, you can't do this to us. We want to give." In fact, Paul said they begged to be able to be a part of this offering, of meeting the needs of the people in Judea. They begged for the privilege of sharing in ministering to the saints. They had this generous spirit. It wasn't dependent upon how good things were going for them. It wasn't dependent upon how much they had in their pockets. It was dependent upon their heart. And then in verse 5, "And not just as we had hoped, instead, they gave themselves first to the Lord and then to us by God's will." See, that's the secret of a generous spirit. Generosity begins not by how much we can put into our pockets and have on us or in our bank accounts. Generosity begins by where our heart belongs. And a good question for a lot of us to ask ourselves is, what I do with my material goods and my material wealth, how does that reflect where my heart is? That's a good question. It's not a question of how much are you going to give. It's not a question of when you're going to give. The question is, where is your heart? You see, wherever your heart is, that's where everything else follows. And Paul knew this. And he saw this in the churches at Macedonia. Even though they had very little, they begged for the opportunity to give. They wanted to be a part of meeting the needs of other saints. And they wanted to be able to give, and it was because of this, it was this generous attitude that sprung from their heart. And all of this came because they first gave themselves to God. And then to each other. Then Paul goes on in verse 6 and says, "So we urged Titus that just as he had begun, so he should also complete among you this act of grace." You see the idea? Generosity. Paul didn't start by trying to tell those people, hey, you need to give 10%. You need to give this amount or that amount. He started right here. And what Paul is trying to tell us in chapter 8 and chapter 9 is this guiding principle. God is a generous God, and he expects us to be generous as well. So how does Paul talk here about God's generosity? Well, he didn't start with creation. Notice what he said here in verse 9 of chapter 8. He says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ." And here it is. Here's how God has been gracious to you. Here is the generosity of God right here. Paul is about to tell us. "Though he was rich," who is he? The he here, I believe, is Jesus. The he here is God. "Though he was rich, for your sake, he became poor, so that by his poverty you might become rich." What was Paul saying? Paul was saying, look, here's a picture. Here's the definition of God's generosity. God had all the resources in the world. He had one son. And he decided he would send that one son into the world to leave heaven, to leave all the riches, and come to earth just like any other man. He who was rich became poor. He walked this earth. He went to the cross. He gave his life for us. He died for our sin so that we might be saved, so that we might be rich. That's God's generosity. He was willing to give up his most precious possession so that we could have a relationship with him. He paid it all. He paid it all through Jesus Christ. That's God's generosity. And he came to us through Jesus. And he became poor so that we might become rich. It's not only a picture of God's generosity, it's a picture of how we can become like God when we give. We give so that God can be glorified. Also, we see here over and over again that God is able to make every grace overflow to us in every way, always having everything you need. He talks about that in chapter 9. Paul says, God is the one who provides the seed. He provides the food. He not only provides those things, but he multiplies them. He increases them. And he enriches us. And he gives us all things. In fact, at the end of this chapter, in chapter 9, he talks about this indescribable gift, this gift that even human words cannot explain. That's God's generosity. God is generous. So we can be generous. Do we really believe that? We live in a world today where we have the attitude of, what have you done for us lately? Instead of looking at the big picture and understanding all the things that God has done for us, not only over the course of our lives, but over the course of history, and how generous God has been, how can anyone in the United States not understand the generosity of God when we look at the rest of the world and realize what we have to live with and what we have to live on and what God has blessed us with? How can we doubt the generosity of God? God is a generous God, and He wants us to be generous. Paul talks about this generosity. He talks about this principle of sowing sparingly. If you sow sparingly, you will reap sparingly. If you sow generously, you will reap generously. You see, we need to understand that Paul presents a picture of how we are to live a lifestyle of generosity, a life of sowing and a life of reaping, and it's to be characterized by generousness. And Paul gives us principles throughout chapter 8 and 9 about what it means to be generous and where it starts. First of all, it starts with God. God gives us all the supply that we need to be able to be generous. But it also begins with us giving ourselves to God. If we have a problem with giving, it's a problem with our relationship with God. It's not a problem with anything else. It's giving ourselves to God. That's where it begins. It's characterized by a love for God and a love for others. You see, Paul over and over again in these two chapters talked about how our giving is a test of the genuineness of our love. We can sit here this morning and we can stand around and we can talk about how much we love somebody and how much we love each other, and we talk about how much we love those around the world and how concerned we are for them, but the big test of the genuineness of our love comes when we are willing to give to help meet their needs. Generosity is a test of our love. If you look at the level of your generosity, you can discern the genuineness and the authenticity of your love for somebody. Is it just talk, or do you really mean what you say? Generosity comes out of a blessing that comes from God. He's our supply. Generosity that is given is based not on giving an equal amount, but it's based on equal sacrifice. My sacrifice may be nothing compared to yours. We don't look at how much we give. We look at where is our heart and how sacrificial are we in our giving. Generosity in giving is always aimed at meeting needs. We don't give to build bell towers. We don't give to build great cathedrals. We don't build just to build great buildings so the world can look and say, man, they have lots of stuff. We give to meet the needs of other people. We give not only to meet their physical needs, but we also give to meet their spiritual needs, because we know the greatest need that a person has is not just physical needs and it's not just for food and that kind of stuff, though we need to be concerned about that. But the greatest need that people have today is their need to know Jesus and their need to know who God is. Our giving, our generosity is aimed at helping to meet the needs of others. And our generosity will always lead to thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. Think about that church in Macedonia and how in the midst of all their hardship, they begged for the opportunity to give to the ministry of the saints. And I think about the fact that they weren't going to let Paul leave Macedonia without their offering. And Paul wasn't going to leave without some of them going with him to Corinth. And they were planning, I believe, there in Corinth, a big Thanksgiving service when they began to see the offering that Corinth had collected and the offering that was coming from Macedonia. And even though it may not have been as much in total amount as what the Corinthians were going to give, it was equal in sacrifice. And it led them to thanksgiving. Could it be that the reason we have sometimes a hard time with thanksgiving in our heart is because there's not a lot of generosity sometimes in how we give? And maybe sometimes we fall short of thanksgiving because our heart is not totally and willingly given to God. And sometimes our gifts are given out of duty and obligation instead of out of cheerfulness, because we no longer give out of a heart of generosity. Generosity will always be marked with overflowing thanksgiving for what God is doing. Generosity is always marked by the fact that God has already given us more than we can ever give back to Him. And that is salvation. His only Son. Forgiveness and redemption. And we understand that Jesus paid it all. And we give not because we owe Him, but we give because we are so thankful for what He has given us. And out of all that He's given us, we have the opportunity to give to one another and to be generous to one another and to make this world a better place. And the world can see not only the generosity of God in what He has done through Jesus Christ, but the world can see the generosity of His people in what He's done for His people. And His people go to the world with an open arms and open hands, and is ready to embrace those who have needs and ready to help whoever needs to be helped. That is a sign, and that is the result of the generosity that Paul talks about here in chapters 8 and chapters 9. It's a thanksgiving for the indescribable gift that God has made available to us. So, we cannot limit our giving to an understanding of a certain percentage of our income. I'm an encourager of the practice of tithing because it taught me to give. And I'm grateful for that. But giving and generosity is not based on the amount. I hope that our giving and our generosity comes from the heart. I pray that it not only comes from the heart, but it comes from our relationship with God in realizing that this generous God expects us to be generous to others. Let's bow our heads together. Father, thank you for all the things that you do for us and how you make available to us such wonderful and great blessings. Father, we don't come just thanking you for the material blessings that we have, though most of us in this room enjoy so much material blessings. We come thanking you for the spiritual blessings that you give us through your Son Jesus. The forgiveness of sin and the redemption of our hearts and lives and the eternal life that you give. We thank you, Father, that we have you in every situation and circumstance of life, and that you never forsake us and you never leave us alone, and you're always there. We can always depend upon you for what we need. But Father, today I pray that if there's one here who has withheld their heart from you, if there's one here who has never placed their faith and trust in you, that today they might find a God, the God that you are, the generous God who is willing to reach out and embrace them and to bring them in to your salvation. And that they would call out to you, because your word promises us that if we will call on you, you will save us. So, Father, I pray if there's someone that has not done that today, they will. I pray, Father, that you would do a work in our lives and help us to look around us and see how we can bless others with all the resources that you've blessed us with. Thank you for your love. Thank you for speaking to us today. And we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.